We are listener-supported. One Radio Network. Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
With Dr. Jennifer Daniels, the last Tuesday of the month, we find her here on One Radio Network. It's great to have her. She's always a ball of fire and living in the jungle now in Panama. And I will find that picture that she sent and put that on the show page. I promise I'm going to do it this time. People email her, said, where's that picture, man? Where's that picture? I did it, and then I lost it. I don't know. Andrew Goss will be here tomorrow. The Massey's on Thursday. Dr. Daniel's website is vitalitycapsules.com, vitalitycapsules.com. If you're having trouble going to the bathroom, I think you should check this product. Let's fix your item. Okay. No problem there. Okay. So this is an interesting question. This is from Rachel. I've actually had my own experience with this one myself. Mm-hmm. My daughter, who's now 2.5, was just told that she needs eye surgery. About 6 months ago, her right eye started crossing, turning in. And over the past 6 months, they've tried glasses and a patch. But those options have not corrected the problem. Now the other eye is starting to cross. The parent... We're just told that surgery is needed, but that there's a small chance that it won't work either. Is there anything you would suggest that they could look into for these options? My initial thought, maybe they could use some castor oil, improve circulation. I'd like to get your opinion on this.
The key here, the big clue is that she was just fine till 6 months ago. Is that right?
Let's see. I was just told. Oh, she's 2.5 and needs eye surgery. Oh, about 6 months ago. Yeah. Started. So about 2 years old, correct, her eye started to turn in.
Okay. So I would take away, if she has any electronic devices, like maybe an iPad that you let her use for entertainment, or stop the TV, any of these electronic devices that she might be staring at from time to time. The next thing is, I would, and this is not medical advice, of course, is I would take a look at, turpentine. That's what I would do.
Oh, internally for the kid. Yeah.
Yep. Because the problem is, it's a little parasite that has set camp in her eye nerve. And that's why that one eye appears to be disconnected.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're onto something with the electronic devices and all that. I had that when I was a kid, you know, my eye turned out, you know, and after all these years, I figured out that it was simply because when I would think about something in the past, my eye would, I would think about it and I would look up to the right, you know. Uh-huh. I think it was a total emotional thing, you know.
For my kid, I would not get surgery.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Doc. There's no way.
If it was my kid, your kid, do what you
sure,
you know, do
sure,
whatever.
Of course.
Now, the other problem is, what about child protective again, right? So this person probably has insurance. The doctor knows he's going to get paid. And so this is worth a phone call, child protective, so the doctor can collect a few thousand dollars, whatever the income is for this surgery. And people need to realize, when you take your kid to a doctor, there's a serious conflict of interest going on here.
Yeah.
The doctor looks at your insurance, and if he hasn't looked at your insurance, the HMO or whoever he looks at, he works for, has already looked at your insurance. And if he doesn't recommend the most expensive intervention your insurance will cover, then he's in trouble. And then once he recommends that, if you don't take that recommendation, there's a whole social services agency that will leap into action to coerce you and make sure he gets paid, or whoever his employer is gets paid. And so you need to understand, as a parent, this is a treacherous thing when you take your kid to the doctor. If I had a kid nowadays, even when I did, I would never, ever take the kid in for what's called a routine checkup. And that kid would have to be bleeding from a few different places for me to even think, and I do mean think, about taking him in for medical attention of any kind.
Here we have Carol wants to know about, husband, 55, knees are so painful, he's needed painkillers. Doctor says you got to get the old knee replacements. Is there any other thing you can do? This comes up a lot, Doc. This comes up a lot.
This is your 55-year-old husband.
Yeah.
I can tell you just because he has knee pain that he's got a pretty sorry diet. So you have to, you know, talk turkey. Say, hey, dude, what do you want? How important is this to you?
Dude.
Are you willing to change your diet? And if he is, then you got to get rid of the sugar, alcohol, and cigarettes. I can assure you he's doing one of those. And the wheat products. So that's the least he's got to get rid of. And then, you know, introduce 100% organic everything else. Just that alone will give him at least 50% improvement in his knee pain. And once you have his attention, then you can say to him, you know, there's this little report online called the Candida Cleaner Report. And all you have to do, honey, is drink a little bit of turpentine. It's not a lot. And so then have him read the report, you know, see if he'll go for it. But once I started using turpentine, it really greatly improved people's joints.
Huh. What's the mechanism there? Can you walk us through what do you suspect is going on?
Yeah, these parasites are literally in the joints, nibbling away, eating them. That's exactly what's happening.
Good for them.
And the turpentine does. Yeah, good for them.
It's like, okay.
Whoa. And so the turpentine gets these parasites and say, whoa, man, we're out of here. This is not the place to be.
Whoa.
And that's that mechanism. Now, it's another mechanism, which is the repair mechanism. And so if you've got a lot of money, good budget here, then you want to go to Great Lakes Gelatin, buy their gelatin, and have this guy eat a quarter cup a day of gelatin.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
And he needs to get it down any way he can. But he's got to do it with lots of water. And before he does it, he's got to be sure he's pooping 3 times a day, because that gelatin can literally turn to plastic and clog up his intestines. So he has got to make sure he's got his intestines flowing well. He's got to make sure he's drinking plenty of water. Then he can drink this quarter cup of
Have you known people that have done that much?
Yeah, routinely.
Wow.
When I was in medical practice in the 90s, that's what I would do. And people would start bouncing off their knees and jumping up and down and climbing ladders like they were teenagers. Like, whoa, Doc, this is great stuff.
Yeah. I like that product. I put it in my whey protein, but I've never can imagine a quarter. You said a quarter cup.
Quarter cup. Wow. Now, her husband should not be taking whey protein. Whey protein is not good for your knees, but definitely take the gelatin.
Not good for your knees. All right. This is interesting from Anna. She is in Virginia. Please advise about C-H-A-L-A-S-I-A in advance.
Chalazia.
Sphincter between the esophagus and the stomach does not open. I'm extremely dehydrated. Orange urine. Oh, he, but it looks like a family member. But he is at home, can walk, drive, speak when he feels up to it. All treatments have failed. He's facing the last stage surgery. And a surgery, doctors say it's a neurological problem. Could it be a parasite? So the sphincter is not open. What does he mean, the sphincter? What does that mean?
It's called achalasia.
Achalasia. All right.
And you missed a few letters there. Achalasia. So the first letter should be an A, not a C. So
okay.
Achalasia.
Achalasia.
Yeah, and that means that the veil between the esophagus and stomach doesn't open. It doesn't open because the parasites are sitting there saying, "Yep, we don't need it open right now. We're busy."
How does the food get in the stomach if it's not open?
It opens from time to time, but it doesn't open all the time when it's supposed to.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So he's got a diet problem. He needs to switch to all natural foods. You know, no chemicals or whatever. And I would definitely recommend the Candida Cleaner protocol for him.
Because, again, you believe it's a parasite thing.
Absolutely is a parasite.
Absolutely.
Now, the next thing you can do, there's a couple of things that open every single veil you own.
All right.
from the top all the way to the bottom.
Oh,
like,
baby.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yep. So castor oil is one thing that will open that veil right up. But my favorite is prunes. And so it's one cup. This is a recipe, so get your pencil out.
Mm-hmm.
1 cup chopped prunes, 6 sticks of cinnamon, 1 quart of water. Boil for 30 minutes. Take out the sticks of cinnamon. Add the juice of 1 lemon. Stir it up and eat it.
Wow.
And eat the whole thing, the whole thing. And you eat that whole thing, it just opens up all of your valves. It opens up that valve between the esophagus and the stomach, the valve from the stomach to the small intestine, and the valve from the small intestine to the colon.
Wow.
So it opens up every single valve. Now, you're going to get some diarrhea, of course, but it opens the valves up, it flushes those parasites out, and it gives you kind of a clean slate to get started the next day.
We have one.
But I would still recommend the turpentine.
The turpentine thing. Before that, how often and for how long do you think can you conjecture of how they use the turpentine with the? I know you want to get the Candida report and give you the whole story.
No. The first thing he needs to do is the prunes.
The prunes.
Open up all these valves.
Okay.
Yeah, open all these valves.
Open them.
And he may find that one treatment of that solved his problem for months.
Wow.
You know, yeah. Do that. And the parasites are there. So doing the turpentine is just going to make it so it doesn't come back. So the beauty of turpentine is you can use this natural stuff like diet or whatever to fix yourself. But the turpentine makes the fix more permanent,
mm-hmm.
so you don't have relapse.
Mm-hmm. I remember on a previous show, you had suggested somebody talked about acid reflux heartburn, and you had suggested that the little valve sometimes stays open when it should shut because of the same reason.
Right.
The same
reason. These parasites are in control. They make up their mind. Like, you know, this valve needs to stay open. It just needs to stay shut.
Isn't that curious?
Yeah. And that's the problem. That's the seed of most diseases is that your body is not in control. These parasites are. And they're like, this is not convenient for us. We're sorry. You're not going to be talking today.
Normally, Dr. Daniels, in a perfect world, somebody's doing really good things, all organic and really pooping and, you know, the whole thing. Would their immune system theoretically be in shape to get these guys and keep them in check, these parasites?
The answer is no.
No?
And I can tell you no, because I tried it.
Okay.
You know, life happens.
And thank you for saying that instead of the other word.
Get the drop on you. They stick up on you. Boom.
That's right. Thank you. Instead of using the S word, I like the way you said that. Wow. No kidding. So these guys.
So I was 100% organic.
Right.
And I was vegan and things were not going well.
Yeah.
Now, the other problem with people who are 100% organic is a lot of them are eating organic processed foods. And that's every bit as bad as non-organic processed foods.
Sure.
Because every time you eat processed foods, you're creating malnutrition. You're literally devastating your immune system. Another issue with eating 100% organic is a lot of the organic foods are transported in from places more than 1,000 miles from where you live. And so you're eating food, well, maybe you're organic, lacks the bioenzymes to assist you in the environment where you live because these plants did not grow up in the environment where you live. So there's all kinds of pitfalls with being organic. So a lot of people go, okay, let's be 100% organic, and then their vigilance stops right there.
Yeah.
And so what happens then is they actually destroy their health.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, when you consider, say, a broccoli cut in California.
My backyard.
You know, whatever, and comes through a truck, and then, God love them, you know, I mean, who knows where it's been or how it's been handled.
No, that's not the point. The point is, because it's in California, it has not created the enzymes and phytochemicals necessary to protect someone living in New York.
Oh.
That's the fundamental problem.
Oh, so you say it's
the
old idea.
If you threw that broccoli right to New York, instantaneously transported it in a split second, it still wouldn't be any good.
Oh, because of the whole eating locally idea.
Right. It's a geographic mismatch is what I call it. Geographic nutritional mismatch.
Ah.
And this is what people eating organic are victimized by. They're going to the store eating organic from Brazil.
Right.
And they're, you know, it's just nonsense.
Hey, you mean so you say that the little things in the soil in New York are what the people...
The rainfall, the parasites that are there.
Interesting, yeah.
This poor little plant makes all these phytochemicals to defend itself. Well, what it has to defend against in New York is different from what it has to defend against in California.
I've never heard it said like that. That's very interesting. We've always heard the eat locally thing, but I never heard it described like. Where did you get that information?
I sat down and thought about it.
Well,
I said,
okay,
what is the
problem? Well, that's a good
I'm
thing.
I'm eating 100% organic and I feel lousy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's another reason to go to local farmers markets, huh? Yeah.
Well, now, the local farmers markets, again, treacherous. A lot of the local farmers markets, they're hauling in their stuff from California.
Well, yeah, but so, I mean, if you know the person and all that, and you know.
I'm just saying you have to ask.
Yeah, baby, I agree with you. Boy, I ask what you feed your chickens, you know, and everything. And boy, I want to know, because you don't know what they're doing. Oh, okay, I got a P.S. from this, what's that word, from the esophagus thing? P.S.
Echolation.
He cannot swallow water. Most food is regurgitated. Bowels move poorly, if at all.
So if he can't swallow water, what is he getting in there?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Has he got a tube?
Yeah, he said, should he be on an IV? Boy, yeah, I don't know.
No, he's not. He's past IV. The question, should he have a JPEG tube? The JPEG tube is an outpatient procedure. They just put a dagger through your abdominal wall into your stomach and feed you that way, bypassing that particular valve.
Yeah. Well, I think the prunes would be a reasonable thing to try, right? Your prune recipe?
Well, the question is, how is this guy living? What is he getting in there? How is he getting it in? Right. So once you understand how is he getting in whatever he's getting in, because she says he walks, he talks, he does errands, so he's getting something. So whatever that something is, you need to adjust that something to improve his results. So that something that he's eating has got to be, the quality of it has got to be improved. So if he's able to drink even any water at all, the water has got to be, you know, distilled or reverse osmosis. So the Candida Cleaner report's got all that information in it. But he has got to change what he's putting in his body to something that's going to, you know, be more supportive of his immune system.
Yeah. Mentioning the precious fruit guava in the beginning of the show, are we supposed to eat the seeds of guava? They're some.
Yep. I ate the whole thing.
The whole thing.
I ate the seeds, the peeling. I just pull it right off the tree and eat it.
Wait a minute. This person is in Europe, so they probably shouldn't be eating guava if they're in Europe, should they?
Sometimes guava trees grow a little bit north.
Oh, they do.
So they might have a guava tree in their backyard, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, right off that tree and eat it.
Okay. Let's see here. We got, boy, a lot of questions. Okay. Frequent urination in a male, 68. Started frequent urination at night around 2 years ago. Some frequency now during the day, enough to be noticeable. No other health concerns, suggestions without going to a medical route. Thanks for your advice in the show. And this is Bill from Rhode Island. He's peeing a lot.
Well, so one simple thing you can do is just put some turpentine over where his bladder is. So you can go online and check out where his bladder is. You'll see some pictures, you know, bladder placement in men. And just put some turpentine over there once or twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times urinary frequency is caused by a lot of bacteria that the kidneys are processing.
Ah.
The other thing to do is look to his diet. Again, the kidneys are maybe processing a lot of chemicals in the food that he's eating. So he's got to decrease the chemical content of his food, which means, again, not eating food that has preservatives in it, you know, eating fresh stuff, cooking at home. And at the same time, he's got to put turpentine over that bladder, it sounds like, and that will help.
Hmm. So right topically, it soaks right in.
Soaks right in. The other question is, what's he drinking? So he's got to take a look at what he's drinking. If he's drinking soda pop or alcohol, those things create an incredible amount of urination.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever use DMSO with it, or are they both solvents? You don't need it?
I don't use DMSO because it stinks too much.
Topically, no.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And turpentine is much nicer. The odor is mild. It goes away quicker. The action is predictable. So I don't use DMSO.
For those of you who are new, Dr. Daniels is talking about pure gum spirits of turpentine, the real thing. Don't go out and get some kind of chemical thing. We have one of the best ones in our store. It's called Diamond G Forest Products out of Georgia. And I believe they're beginning to ship around the world now. They finally figured out a way. And the guy I talked to him, he just taps the pine tree and just cooks it, and that's it. There's nothing else. Boom, boom, boom. And it smells pretty good. I mean, it smells great, actually. Here's Carol. I recently learned that clay can help heal insect bites. I seem to be getting bit a lot. Is there something I'm probably doing internally that can keep these guys from biting me so much? Is sugar a thing sometimes?
One thing you can do is, you can change your diet.
Yeah.
You can change your diet. You can increase your bowel movement so that the waste leaves your system, increase your hydration. And you can do that, but even above and beyond that is you can mix a quarter cup of castor oil and a teaspoon of turpentine, mix it up, and then just apply it head to toe. And they generally don't like that.
Speaking of cholesterol, earlier in the show, an emailer says, plants contain no cholesterol. What is Dr. Daniel's preferred source of cholesterol foods for maintenance and daily consumption for men, women, say, middle age and onwards?
So cholesterol is fat soluble. That means you don't need to eat it every day, and your body stores it. And so I don't recommend daily consumption of anything for cholesterol. So what I do recommend, though, is a liver. So liver is my favorite. Ultra, ultra high cholesterol, ultra, ultra high in all of the hormone precursors for the adrenal glands and the sex organs. So when you eat liver, your body immediately says, oh, my gosh, there it is. And so to go from cholesterol to testosterone, you know, could be like a 20-step process. But in the liver you eat, there's some testosterone that's already made it to step 15. And so your body doesn't have far to go to, boom, boost that testosterone level. And the same with your other hormones that your body makes in the adrenal glands. So eating liver is, I think, the best. I'm not a raw liver fan. I don't recommend raw liver because I know people who have gotten parasites from that, and it's just a mess. So I recommend cooked liver. It should be calf liver. That means liver from a small, young cow. And you can't just eat liver. You have to have something with it, like maybe some rice and some vegetables. So if you just simply eat liver, then that's too big a load for your body to handle or properly digest.
Oh, you sent me some more pictures. Okay, I got them this time, man. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to figure this one out. Wow.
Now, one picture is a picture of the trail that I walked down.
Yeah, that's cool. Interesting. Yeah. That's beautiful. Wow.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to put this second one because it gives you the view out your window, which is amazing. Man, yeah, good for you. Okay, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Dr. Jennifer Daniels, who lives in Paradise, we're going to do a little sulfur thing here.
In this country, the sulfur levels have been dropping. There was an alarm that went out to the Congress, and this was in 1932 or 34. When this big warning came out. Mineral quantities have been dropping in the U.S. for quite a while, and especially as farmland got worn out. Notable of things was the sulfur, and if you had been eating high sulfur foods all of your life, you may be getting enough sulfur, but we're not. And the sulfur content in foods is way low, and really, you need sulfur. The number one thing that sulfur does is it detoxifies the cells.
Thank you, George. George Altgelt on a previous show. He's a biologist, chemist, and knows a lot about agriculture. The number one thing, he says, is sulfur detoxifies the cells. This is pure sulfur. Very few of them are. Three prices, three locations, United States, Canada, and worldwide. Click an order, see the ad right-hand side on OneRadioNetwork.com.
My name is John Kunkel. I'm 63 years old, and I've been building muscle and losing fat over the last 6 months. I've been using One World Whey to provide a highly assimilable protein and Kappa Mineral Whey to help me get all the minerals I need and support my body's alkaline pH. I've also been using EstroBlock to keep my testosterone levels high and not allow it to convert to estrogen, which happens normally as men age. The extra testosterone also helps in building muscle. The result has been a successful process of converting my body from fat to muscle. I've lost 20 pounds to date.
Join the many people who are converting fat to muscle with One World Whey. The body is chronically hungry for usable amino acids. Cooking proteins destroys up to 75% of the amino acids. Cooked proteins burden the body and accelerate aging. One World Whey's protein content is raw and virtually 100% usable. Substitute One World Whey for one meal of your day and see how much better you can feel. Click an order on the One World Whey banner ad right here at OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.
Previously with Andrew Goss, I asked him why would someone want to buy coins from his company?
So if you don't know coins, you better know your coin dealer. And, you know, you shouldn't buy coins from someone who isn't well-known registered dealer. So if they're an NGC dealer, they're registered with NGC. If they're a PCGS dealer, they're registered with PCGS. Ask questions. Don't just, oh, yeah, here's 10 grand or 50 grand or 150 grand. I just want to buy coins, you know, let me know what I'm getting. And no, that's not how an intelligent investor does it. And we do not let you do that. So if you're not willing to learn about the coins that you're buying, maybe you should find another coin firm. Don't call this one, because we're going to insist that you know why and how a coin is rare. And once you know that, then I think you can take that knowledge into the marketplace and make intelligent investment decisions.
Aha, what a concept, intelligent investment decisions. I've known Andrew for 25 years. He's the real deal. His company, STL 800-468-2646. Give him a call if you're interested. 800-468-2646.
Know the source. The source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart-to-heart you. You sing to one smile that cheers you, one face that lights when it needs you, one girl you're everything to.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Once a month, we have the fun privilege of talking to Dr. Jennifer Daniels, MD. She's out of jungle land, Panama. And vitalitycapsules.com is the website. Monday afternoon, again, the time is, what did you say, 1 Central? 2 Central? 1 Central?
2 o'clock Central. Central.
2 Central, that would be 3
on
Eastern.
Mondays.
And that would be noon, California time. And then it's called Blake Radio, Blake Network?
Yeah, Blake Radio or Blog Talk Radio. It's on both at the same
cool.
time.
Good job. Okay, here's from John. He said, my dad is 76, having problems chewing due to a clicking jaw. Clicking jaw. Does Dr. Daniel suggest any natural ways to alleviate this problem?
Okay, clicking jaw. So we're going to guess, so make a few assumptions here, that his jaw did not click, did not always click. Now, I'm going to also guess, let's just say he does not have dentures. Okay, so if he does not have dentures and he's got a clicking jaw, then it's a cartilage issue. So the gelatin high dose would take care of that. Or he's 76, so he's probably had experience eating animal spare parts. And so the animal spare part for him to eat, if he's a beef eater, would be the beef leg or beef tendons. The animal part for him to eat, if he's a pork eater, would be the ears or the feet of the pig. And so any of these would repair that joint that clicks and get rid of the clicking for him. Let's say he has dentures. If he has dentures, he has a denture fitting problem. So you have to go with him to the dentist and get his dentures re-lined. That means to get the dentures altered so they fit better and they don't slip and slide.
Slip and slide. Mm-hmm. Does Dr. Daniels have suggestions on raising one's pH? I don't eat processed foods, eat organic.
Don't do it.
I don't smoke.
Do
I don't drink. I don't drink. I would be drinking alkaline water help.
No. So the question is, which pH are you trying to raise and where and why? So I'm not in favor of raising pHs at all. I recommend distilled water, pH 5.5, and that seems to heal people very nicely. So I'm not sure which pH he wants to raise. Let's just say, for the sake of discussion, though, he's trying to raise his blood pH, and he knows his stomach pH needs to stay low at about 1.7, and he knows the pH in his muscles has to be low at 5.5, and he knows the pH in his urine has to be low between 4.5, and 6.5. Let's just say he knows all these things. So how should he change the pH in his blood to raise it to 7.4? Let's just say. That's his dilemma. The answer is deep breathing. So if he breathes deeply, it pulls the acid directly out of his blood, raising his blood pH without disturbing the other pHs and keeping them normal.
Do you know how many people out there are saying that you need to get a 7-point saliva and urine pH? Huge. It's all over
the place.
They'll
throw a 7 pH in your urine and you maintain that, we'll put you on dialysis.
How about 7 on pH on saliva? Similar?
Again, same thing, right? Because what you've done is you've alkalinized these tissues that need to be acidic. Now, the other thing is, you know how a battery works, is the charge goes from one pole to the other because you have them separated, okay? So inside the battery, you've got the negative charges and the positive charges separated. And the only way they can get together is to go through that wire, and that's what creates the energy.
Hmm.
You with me?
Yes, ma'am, I am, yeah.
Your body works the same way. If you don't have a pH gradient, then you're dead. So if your whole body was pH 7.4, your saliva, your urine, your blood, your tissues, then that's it, you're dead, done. Because there's no way for energy to flow. Energy needs a gradient to flow. That's why you were built with a proton acid pump in your stomach to create acid to artificially lower the pH of your stomach to create this gradient. And so if you go around destroying this pH gradient throughout your body, you're literally going to kill yourself. Which, of course, is your right.
Yeah.
It's not for me to say.
I think you're onto something, Doc. Of course, nobody believes and listens to me, but I really do. I always felt that this whole thing of testing with a little strip and trying to get it to a certain number was just misguided. I just never got into that. I don't know.
Well, what's misguided is the number they're using. It's okay to test. Like, there's nothing wrong with testing your urine pH, but there is something wrong with trying to get it to be 7.
Well, that's what I mean. And the people that want you to test want you to be at 7.
Correct. So what people need to really understand, all of this advertising and propaganda aside, is they need to go online and say, what's a normal urine pH? Boom, it's right there. Ask Google, what's a normal urine pH?
Really?
What's a normal saliva pH? And guess what? It's not 7.
It's not 7.
No.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one from Lance. If you have the mesh on the hernia with no infections for 9 years, would you have it removed?
No.
No, you wouldn't
want
to mess.
Don't trouble till trouble troubles you.
That's right. Yeah. Boy, I wouldn't go in and mess around with that, would you, at that point?
But again, so many people who get the Mylex mesh have troubles. There's a high percentage that have troubles. So in other words, you can have a procedure, and this is the beauty of healthcare. You have 100 people who go into surgery, we'll call it healthy.
Yeah.
You have 10% out the other end who are just absolutely devastated. Hmm. Their lives are ruined forever. Hmm. And some of those actually die. Then you have 20% who are simply harmed. Their lives are painful, worse, but livable. And so the question is, as my lawyer used to tell me, do you feel lucky? So this guy was lucky. And I would say, you're lucky, no problem, go with it. But if you're walking into this, you need to realize that if you're not lucky, this is what could happen. And a certain number of people, they do get devastating infections, need recurrent surgeries the rest of their life, and a certain number actually die. And that's something you just need to be aware of. Sure, 50 to 70% of people are going to be just fine. But, you know, do you feel lucky?
Wanda says, my eye had a severe inflammation from an autoimmune disease. I had a steroid injection in my eye. Eye is not dilating now. And they want me to have surgery to drain the eye. I was told that I would have a severe glaucoma episode if I don't have surgery. I've been using castor oil and Vicks every night. What else can I do to get the eye to dilate again? Dilate.
Well, you're not trying to get it to dilate again. You're trying to lower the pressure so you don't need surgery. That's what you're trying to do.
Right.
The Vicks should do that. The only thing to add would be to take turpentine orally. And to add alternating hot and cold compresses to the eye. That'll lower the pressure very nicely.
So what's in the Vicks that helps the eye lower the pressure?
Well, there is turpentine in the Vicks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
I know.
Turpentine in the Vicks.
It's right there on the label. It's right on the
yes.
label. It's crazy. Just look at it, folks. Go into Walgreens and check it out. It's right there on the label.
Right there on the label. Yeah, so that helps. There's also eucalyptus in there, camphor, thymol. So the Vicks helps dilate the different channels in the eye. So the thing you need to look for is results or outcome. And so dilating, whether the eye dilates or not, is a down the road outcome. You might, depending on where you live in the United States, have an optometrist shop where you can go, where they'll actually measure your eye pressure.
Sure, yeah.
And sometimes they do it for free, sometimes they charge you. But get your eye pressure measured. It might be in the normal range, in which case your doctor is just BSing you and trying to, you know, bully you into getting surgery. The other thing to understand is that it's the steroid shot that pushed you over the edge. So literally, this doctor created a medical condition for himself to treat.
So would you ever put steroid either drops or in your eye at all, ever?
Not in my eye, no.
No way.
Or anyone else's. I mean, I wouldn't do it, no.
Just don't do it. What would you generally do, say, just an eye gets inflamed because who knows what? Is there something you could put in there naturally?
Yeah, the Vicks works beautifully.
Does it?
So if you started out with the Vicks and never resorted to the steroids, then your immune system would step up to the plate and with the help of the Vicks get the job done. But you... when you put that steroid shot in your eye, you totally disable your immune system.
And you're just putting a little dab, I guess, huh, with Vicks, a little dab, a little drop?
Very little dab. If you imagine a pea, one-fourth of that is what you put in your eye. You put it in a lower,
just a dab.
Lower lid, and you got a pouch there. Just swipe it in there and close your eye and then pull your upper lid over your lower lid, blink. Do this while you're laying down in bed because you will not be able to see for a good 5 minutes.
And so, where did you first see this about the Vicks?
Oh, I did it myself because I was in Syracuse. I was under incredible stress.
Yeah.
And my eyes just turned red, swelled up, pus started pouring out, and I couldn't see.
Like, really?
Oh, my God. Really? Yeah, it's just under a lot of, you know, all this government stuff, under a lot of stress. And so I said, okay, so I'm not going to get medical care for this. What am I going to do? And the first thing I did was I called up a friend of mine who's a doctor and got an ointment, an antibiotic ointment. And I put that in my eye, and that helped actually quite a bit. But then it flared up again. Of course, the tube was empty, and the antibiotic I was using causes deafness, and the eye is not very far from the ear. And I said, well, that's not going to work. I'm not going to do that again. Then what am I going to do? And so then I just thought through it, and I said, well, you know, I use turpentine instead of antibiotics for pretty much everything, so let me try this Vicks in my eye.
Oh, you're a brave
and
girl.
And it cleared it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
Well, even to try the turpentine in the first place, you
read
the report.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You were on the cutting edge, girl, boy. I tell you what.
Yeah.
So
I tried it. It worked. So I recommend it for other people for, you know, serious eye problems.
Mm-hmm. So others you've worked with over the years have done this very safely and effectively, this little Vicks.
Correct. Huh? Yeah. I mean, even if you're determined, you would use it maybe to get rid of your reading glasses.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very nice.
Huh.
But, I mean, not everyone has that kind of nerve. And it's like, hey, it's just reading glasses. I don't care. I can put them on my face. It's not that big a deal.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I understand.
Other people say, oh, reading glasses. I want to get rid of them. I'm going to do this. So it just depends on where you're at, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Good morning. I thought small willow flower was good for us balding, thinny hair, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Balding, thinny hair. Okay, let me see here. Click. Come on, mouse. Do it. At 2.5 years of age, the crossed eyes sound likely to be a vaccine injury, possibly, from shots given at 2.
Yeah.
It's possible, right. Too, right?
Yeah. Again, the treatment would be the same. So,
yeah.
I mean, basically, when you get these vaccines, they're putting in junk. You know, they're putting parasites into the poor kid.
Sure.
And again, you know, parents have to make up their mind, you know, how far are you going to go to protect your child?
Sure.
And what are you going to allow people to do to damage your child? And that's, you know, it's a personal decision, so.
Mm-hmm.
No judgment, but just your decision.
We're working through these emails. If you'd like to ask Dr. Daniels a question, Patrick at oneradionetwork.com, 888-663-6386. Ooh, I didn't go to the file that were left over from last. Oh, boy. Okay, forget it. Oh, man. I got some left over from last week. Oh, my God. All right, I'm going to work on some of the last months here. Oh, man. man, there we go here. I guess we should. Okay, this is a legitimate question. How do you suggest I keep my newborn unvaccinated baby safe for coming years and still have a social life as well with the other vax kids?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, he's just concerned that with the whole shedding thing, how does he keep his kids who are unvaccinated healthy with all the vax kids who...
Does he think that the vaccinated kids are going to make his unvaccinated kids sick? Is that what he's worried about?
That's what he's saying.
Okay. I thought there was another question.
All right. Okay. You got it.
Just give them turpentine. It's easy. Just give them turpentine. For a baby, you can just take Vicks Vapor Rub and put it on the soles of the baby's feet, and that's going to keep the baby healthy. And so that's that's your infant to about maybe a year of age. And then at a year of age, you can start giving them castor oil regularly, at least once a week. And so what happens then is anything that enters his body is going to be disposed of in his poop. And then around three-ish, you can start him on turpentine. I would use that progression. And if you give your kid turpentine, three times a week, he's not catching anything, I'll tell you that.
Wow, what would be the dose for a little kid? That's all in the candida. Well,
it's a weight thing. You have to, just by weight.
Yeah, it's curious. I guess when you put the Vicks in the bottom of the feet, you get just a little bit of the turpentine in the kid, huh?
Well, it's a meridian thing,
yeah.
Like acupuncture.
Yeah.
So when you put it on the feet, it goes to all the meridians in the body and changes the energy in the immune system.
Mm-hmm. Carol
without
wants,
overdosing the kid.
Carol wants to know, any suggestions for staying asleep the whole night and growing back my eyebrows? She's got, okay, two questions there. Staying asleep.
Okay, so in other words, what she's saying is she can go to sleep, but she wakes up at night.
Correct.
She doesn't sleep.
That's what it sounds like.
So, what wakes you up at night is basically the toxins and chemicals. The simplest thing is to go 100% organic on all of your produce and starches, minimize your meats. And for many people, after about a week of that, they can sleep like a baby. So what's keeping you up or waking you up is the chemicals in your food. Now, I say that as a caution because now this is a woman answering the question, so it's different from men. So for men, that would be the straightforward answer. But for women, it might be your cosmetics. It might be your body lotion, your foundation, your deodorant, the soap you're using, all that stuff.
Sure.
So that... you might have to clean up your act as far as all that goes. And I don't mean buy a different brand. I mean substitute edible stuff for all of your personal care products. So if you can't eat it, you don't put it on your body.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that gets you to sleep. And you have your eyebrows. You want your eyebrows to grow back?
Yeah.
It's actually called eyebrow tea, and it makes your eyebrows grow back. Mm-hmm. So show me tea, S-H-O-U space M-E-I, show me white tea, and it grows your eyebrows back.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Any connection with Ho Shu Wu, the show, or is it?
No.
No. Rob says he's experiencing low-grade pain and discomfort on the right side of his abdomen. Consulting Dr. Google, the pain seems to be in the region of my ileocecal valve. Is this SIBO related? What steps would you recommend?
Okay, so we'll just take Dr. Google's word for this. That it's a valve problem. And so again, back to the other situation, is open up the valve. And the prune recipe will open up the valve, or a quarter cup of castor oil will open up that valve, and that pain will be gone.
For the past week or so, I've noticed that as I'm falling asleep, it seems like I'm forgetting to breathe or holding my breath. It slightly jolts me awake. I've also been having heart palpitations since January after getting sick and experiencing some added stress. The heart palpitations seem to be worse lately. There's been family members with health problems. They were just put in the hospital for a procedure and are still there. This seems to be when The palpitations get worse, and I'm forgetting to breathe. I've been trying to drink more water and recently started taking desiccated beef liver and organs, hoping to get some nutrients, as I've had a history of anemia. Any ideas? So it's interesting falling asleep feeling like...
Like you're going to die.
Yeah, like you're going to die kind of thing, yeah.
Okay, so dump the desiccated beef liver and just man up and eat the real thing.
Man up, dude.
Yeah, man up.
Yeah, that, we have a couple other questions about the liver while you're on to that subject. Let's tackle that one, if you would. Substitutes for the raw. People are wondering, can I do this liver? Got a few emails here. Just want to do the real thing, huh?
Yeah, and that's the problem. People are looking for sort of fake stuff. And if you're looking for fake stuff, I say just forget it. Just stick with the conventional junk. You'll probably be better off. The fake stuff, no matter how you slice it, is a bad idea. But the question is, what's this guy really got? One of the falling asleep issue. He's got basically sleep apnea. And so as he's about to fall asleep, he literally stops breathing. That's what sleep apnea is. And so the solution for sleep apnea, the simple solution, I won't say simple, but the straightforward solution is to detox. So this guy, you need to do some enemas, maybe some coffee enemas. He needs to eat a better quality of food, unprocessed. He goes to restaurants, stop it. And if he's visiting his friend in the hospital he's worried about, do not eat at the hospital. No hospital food, it's bad news. So his basic problem is that he's got sleep apnea. It is the sleep apnea giving him the palpitation because the heart doesn't get oxygen, so the heart, you know, palpitates.
Palpitates. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of liver alternative questions, so I won't even go through all of them. You just said, go ahead and do it, right?
Man up. Not that, but the question, so what is it about the liver that's so awesome? And the answer is that it's got very high level of cholesterol, as all the building blocks that your other organs need to work. There is no plant source of cholesterol, period, done, end of discussion. So though you vegans out there, you know, just, hey, deal with it, you know, just be vegan and realize that this is just not something you're going to have. After a while, your adrenal glands are going to fail because they don't have any cholesterol to work with. And you have to just deal with either the animals are going to be humanely treated or you're going to be humanely treated. You just make up your mind. All right. Then there's other complainers out there. Oh, I don't like the flavor. You know, get a good recipe. Put more spice in it.
A lot of B vites in liver?
You cannot get a piece of food with more B vitamins than liver. You cannot get a food with more vitamin A than liver.
Wow.
You cannot get a food with more cholesterol than liver.
Wow.
It is so highly packed with vitamins and nutrition, it's embarrassing. And you can even ask Dr. Google. It has so much nutrition in it, you're like, wow, why did I even get a vitamin pill? It is packed with nutrition.
I saw a movie called Dances with Wolves, and they killed the buffalo.
Yes.
And the first thing they do, you know, is, you know, they cut it open.
Eat the liver.
They eat the liver, and they handed it to...
But the person who eats the liver is the person that kills the animal. It's a very honored position to get to eat the liver. Not everyone gets to eat the liver.
I know.
And when a lion kills its prey, the lion eats the liver.
Does he? Ah.
Yeah, the chief lion of the tribe eats the liver, and then he lets all the peons have the rest.
Have the muscle meats, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Lately been feeling weak, no energy, lightheaded, bloating, headaches. Been sleeping a lot because just strained, especially worse after my period. Feels like this has been going on for a very long time. A couple of days after taking vitamin B complex shots, feeling better. I've read how low stomach acid, candida, and leaky gut can be the underlying cause, which may explain the bloating. Also, it can affect the body's ability to absorb B12. Started the turpentine a couple nights ago. What would you recommend other things to do? Okay.
Well, the question, of course, is does turpentine help, and how's she doing?
Yeah, I think she just started. Yeah, didn't say.
All right, I mean, some people feel, you know, benefit in like 2 days. So the bloating and low energy. First of all, the B vitamin shots are a bad idea. They're always a bad idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Whenever you have shots and you penetrate the skin and puncture the skin, there's opportunity for all kinds of bad things to happen. The other problem is, in order to make something into a shot, to liquefy it, a lot of chemicals have to be added. So there is no way a shot, even a vitamin shot, is a good idea. So there's other ways to do it. Like B12, for example, you can put it under your tongue, and the absorption is equal to getting a shot. The medical industrial complex itself is actually looked at this and documented this. So this is not the vitamin companies talking. The medical industrial complex, look it up, ask Dr. Google. Sublingual B12 is as effective, maybe even more so, than the shots. It's a heck of a lot cheaper and less painful. Similarly, with the B complex or B vitamins, same thing. So that's the first thing, stop the shots. The next thing is just take a look at your diet. The quality of the food you're eating is poor. And so you have to switch that up. And she says, especially after her periods, it's something she has a lot of, her periods are heavy. Though she's losing a lot of blood. So to fix that, she needs to replace the blood. One way to replace the blood is to juice beets and juice greens. The two together is the same as giving yourself a blood transfusion.
Beets and greens together, huh?
Beets and greens. Wow. You have to juice them, and obviously they're raw, right? You know, not cooking them for this application. Mm-hmm. And that will perk her up right then and there. But she has a nutritional problem where her diet is very poor. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jennifer Daniels, also the author of the book, The Lethal Dose, Murder by Medicine, is no accident. Her website is vitalitycapsules.com. A quick reminder, if you please, when you do shop at Amazon, a lot of people do, if you would bookmark our page, you can see the Amazon link at the top of One Radio Network. Click on that, please. Bookmark it. Every time you shop at Amazon, if you go right to that bookmark, you have all your private information, all your, you know, it's just logging in. It's just seamless. But then every time that you order, we'll get a commission from the sale, which helps support One Radio Network. So it's pretty cool. So please remember to do that for us. We are obliged to do just one more quick break before we wrap it up. Here's Master Herbalist Stephen Buhner giving some insights, guys, on why this pine pollen could boost your testosterone levels.
The pollen itself is extremely high in a number of male estrogens, the most potent of which is testosterone. And it's got a fairly high level of it. I mean, it's still in the micrograms, but that's really all the difference between us and women is that we have this microgram more than they do. And then in the womb, that shifts us into the male developmental pattern. So when we start adding that stuff back in to our bloodstream, which you do if you take that sort of tincture and you hold it in your mouth for a while and then you swallow it without putting it in any water or anything, it goes right through the mucous membranes into the bloodstream, and so you start to get an increase in the body of actual testosterone, which then circulates to pretty much every cell in the body, and that then begins to increase vitality and muscle strength and everything else.
This is a great product. I've taken it for years. You can click and order an Easter Thrival link, different variations in the pine pollen, potency and price. Take your pick right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. Don't mind me, I was just asleep. It is about 5 minutes before the hour. Let's go back and... don't mind me, I was asleep. Here's a couple more, and then we'll let you go back to work, Doc, and take your walk down in the woods.
Yeah.
If I wake up in the middle of the night and coughed up some blood, what should I do? It wasn't that much blood that came up and stopped after a while, but if it gets worse, what does Dr. Daniel suggest? What would that be, bloody cough up?
Okay, so first you have to ask yourself, okay, why are you coughing up blood?
Yeah, I know.
The most common cause for coughing up blood is dairy products. That would be cheese, milk, ice cream, whatever. So the first step is to eliminate the dairy from your lineup. The next thing is to hydrate yourself. If that solves the problem, then you're done. That's it. The next thing, let's say it doesn't really solve the problem. I still would not go back in the dairy, but I would go with the turpentine. The turpentine sugar. And so I've had clients who cough up blood. And that takes care of it, solves the problem.
Dairy, what's in dairy that you suspect could cause that kind of thing?
Okay, so dairy is the milk from a cow. And so this cow is putting into this milk all of the, not only hormones, but bacteria that its little cow or calf needs to grow up to be a good cow. And those organisms are not good for people. And those organisms get lodged in the respiratory tract and cause asthma, cause pneumonia, and cause a coughing up blood.
Grow up to be a good cow. I like the way you said that. Grow up to be a good cow. Let's see, a couple more here. During her recent broadcast, Dr. Daniels attributed high blood pressure to consuming processed carbohydrates, not unprocessed foods like real baked potato. Could she expound on that? I've noticed how folks with high blood pressure tend to be warriors, turning problems over and over in their heads. Can you talk about that as well?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the two are related. So when you eat processed carbs, we'll call it like white flour, white sugar, it lacks the B vitamins. And those B vitamins prevent people from worrying. And also those B vitamins prevent heart attacks. So if the person stopped these processed carbs, then they would not have the malnutrition, which leads to the worry and to the heart attacks.
Oh. Yeah, boy, the worry, no telling what that does, huh, Doc? I mean, just no telling.
Well, the worry is manufactured. So those bad things happen all the time. And so when a bad thing happens, the appropriate response is, I think that's bad.
No.
Let me do what I can to fix that, and then you do what you can to fix it. So when bad things happen and your response is, I'm worried, and you're paralyzed with worry, that's not an appropriate response. The reason you had that response is because you don't have the B vitamins that you need to take the next step, which is to take positive action.
Positive action. Finally, what's your take on this massive opioid thing going on in I don't know if it's going on around the world, but man, in this country, it's like...
No, it's this country,
Have you seen some of the stats on this in the United States?
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Boy. Exactly.
It's really terrible, isn't it?
So what's happening is these doctors are turning their patients into drug addicts, basically, long and short of it. And what has happened is since you've had more insurance, people have been seeing doctors more and been getting these prescriptions. At the doctor's initiation, by the way, I might add. And the doctor gives them enough to get hooked, and then they have to go to the streets to continue to feed their habit.
Uh-huh.
That's basically what's happening. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a joke about this. You want to hear the joke?
Sure, why not? Sure. We can end with a joke. That'll be great. I'm into
these two doctors are talking, right. And so the first doctor says, "Man, this opioid epidemic is terrible. I wonder how this is happening. Like three of my patients died in the last month." And the second doctor says, "How could you not know? You're writing the prescriptions."
All right, that's good. You're writing the prescriptions. Did you see that the attorneys general are in 40 states? They're suing the pharmaceutical companies for the opioid.
No.
They're
suing the pharmacies. No. Oh, they're going after the companies.
No, they're going after the companies, Doc. They're going after pharmaceutical companies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So in the medical literature, they're going after the pharmacies. They're arresting and prosecuting the pharmacists.
The people that are selling the stuff.
No. I mean, the pharmacist is sitting there in his pharmacy.
Yeah.
The person comes in with a prescription, not written by the pharmacist, by the way. Mm. The pharmacist counts out the pills, puts them in the bottle, and they tell the pharmacist, "You're going to jail."
That's right. But, I mean, wouldn't the docs have some responsibility here writing these prescriptions?
The doctor's hands are tied. If he doesn't write these prescriptions, he loses his license.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Like when I was in practice, I refused to prescribe any of this stuff. I said, "You want narcotics? You got the wrong doctor."
Mm.
You know, I'll recommend enemas. I'll recommend a diet change, but I'm not writing any narcotic prescriptions. People complained to the medical board about me because they wanted their narcotics. I'm like, go see another doctor. I'm not the only doctor in town. But doctors who don't write for narcotics get a lot of pressure. So I refused an addict some narcotics, and I was working for an HMO part-time. The HMO administrator called me and said, "You will write that narcotics prescription." I said, "No, I won't. You have to hire someone else for that. I'll just go home right now." But the doctors get a lot of pressure. And a lot of doctors, they need that money. I mean, I happen to have 3 part-time jobs. So I'm like, hey, you know, I don't need this job. Oh, okay. So, but most doctors are really strapped. So that's the deal. The doctor is not in a position of having free will, if that's you would call it that.
Yeah.
And so the problem is, why doesn't the doctor have free will? Because the drug companies have paid off. In fact, they have financed and created the medical licensing boards. And they've set the standard of care. The doctors don't set the standard of care. So
maybe the attorneys generals are going after the right people.
I think they are. They're going after the drug companies.
Yeah.
But again, stop. Who's paying for these drugs?
I know. Stop.
No, the government is. The government is paying for these drugs with these insurance programs.
I understand.
So if they put out all this insurance, guess what? The person never would have gone to the doctor for a sprained ankle anyway. They would have stayed home. It would have healed all the same, and they wouldn't have ever got that narcotic prescription that would get them hooked. And so you've got the government pretending to be concerned when it can just stop the drug payment programs. The government can just say, we will no longer pay for the filling of any narcotic prescriptions. And that would stop the whole thing in its tracks. But no, we got to blame. Why? Because the government does not want to solve the problem. What they want to do is sue the insurance company, the drug companies, to get money out of them to split the take.
Yeah.
But they don't stop the problem? No. The government needs to stop paying for these narcotics. They don't work. That's why folks are dying from them. If they worked, the person could take a safe dose and get relief from their pain. But they can't, because it doesn't relieve the pain. It causes constipation that worsens the pain. And so the narcotic actually makes the pain worse. And the person has to take more of the narcotic and more of the narcotic, and then they take a deadly dose and they die.
Yeah.
So the drug is not safe and it's not effective. Why is the government even paying for it?
So that your point about the docs, I didn't put that into my equation when I thought about this. So the standard of care, they get into trouble if they don't do some of this stuff, right? So they
right.
Got
if they don't kill the patients, the standard of care is intrinsically deadly. Yeah.
Well, they got some cover then, so it's not all their problem. Well, Doc, it's always fun having you here. Happy jungle. I'm going to get this picture on your show page today, so it'll be exciting. People can see your jungle. Exciting. All right, dear, you take care of yourself and stay out of trouble now, okay?
Okay, we'll do. Bye-bye.
Bye, sweet. Okay, Dr. Jennifer Daniels, it's always fun having you here. She's the second Tuesday of the last Tuesday of the month, rather. Some great questions. Pass on these links to everyone that you care about. We will see you tomorrow with Andrew Goss.
From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.